four areas which I'm going to look at. Firstly, the call to fast, that God has called us as a church for the season to fast and to push in. Secondly, to look practically about what is fasting. Thirdly, God's vision for fasting. We looked at a bit of that in Isaiah 58. And actually, how do we actually do it? What is it that we do in order to fast practically? So we're going to do that. And I've just, over these last few months, we've begun to pull together people in the church who've got a real heart for prayer. And that might be prayer ministry, it might be praying for people, it might be all sorts of different areas of prayer. And we've begun to sit down to see together how we can be more coherent in how we do this together. And out of that has really become a burden for us to fast as a church. It's also come to me through people giving prophecies. It's also come to me through people coming up saying, "Hey John, do you know, guess what, we've started fasting." Or someone else comes up to me saying, "Oh, we really feel that we should as a church fast." So over that period of time, we've gathered the sort of thoughts and the prayers and the visions and the prophecy and thought, okay, let's do it. Let's put it together. Let's have a week where we can push in to the Lord. And so we've pulled together, there's all sorts of information. So I'm going to be reading some things, I'm going to be talking about some things, and I'll be sharing some things. So the first thing I'm going to read is this. It says this: throughout history, God has called on his people to humble themselves through fasting and prayer. Fasting is a spiritual weapon God uses to advance his kingdom, to change the destiny of nations, to spark revival, and bring victories in people's lives. There's something powerful that happens when we voluntarily humble ourselves, see God's will, and agree with him for his purposes to be filled. As a result of fasting, people receive healing, salvation, promotion, direction, family restoration, miraculous provision, tremendous growth personally and in discipleship groups and in the church. As we begin to fast and to pray, we want to see a year of miracles and answered prayer. So this is kind of giving us a glimpse, a vision of why we would want to fast. And from reading that, that says to me, actually, I would like to see more of this in my life and in the church. Joel the prophet says this to the nation of Israel. He says this: declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord our God, and cry out to the Lord. And somebody asked the question, who should fast? The prophet Joel is saying, he's summoning a nation. He's saying, come guys, whole of the nation, come and fast. And so my challenge to us, the church, is that it's for all of us to participate in this. It's not for a few. It's an invitation to all of us to do just that. And so you might ask me, so John, what is fasting? Thank you. Very good. I thought someone was going to ask that question. And very simply, having read this book, which is a very good book, unfortunately we sold out of all of them, which is very good, but we can order some more in over this week if people would still like to buy this book. It's a great book because it's quite simple to read, but it's got some very profound nuggets on fasting, so I'd encourage you to read that or borrow that from somebody. But the definition it puts in this book of fasting, which I kind of like because it's so simple: refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. So what does that mean? Refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. So it's kind of nice and simple, isn't it? So what is our spiritual purpose? Well, the church is taking time as a community to fast and pray and to seek God as we enter into a new season at Core. We want to see healing, restoration, direction, miraculous provision, growth, people falling in love with Jesus, etc. An opportunity for us to humble ourselves and recognize our need and our dependence on God. And I wrote this the other day, it's not that profound, but it was summing up where I was at the time. It says this: when I reach the end of myself, my journey truly begins. So why fast? Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And so we know from reading the scriptures that Jesus was very much a person who fasted. He's also one who was led by the Spirit. And I want to encourage you this morning that it's the Spirit that leads you, invites you to do this fasting. And he's the one who will tell you how to participate and what he's called you to do. Not what I've been called to do, but what you have been called to do. And we'll look at that in a minute. Jesus also taught about fasting. He says this, when you fast, not if you fast, he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will be obvious to men that you are not obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so, there's a wonderful thing about fasting. God encourages us to fast. It's not a public act before men, but it's a private act before God. And it says this, and God will reward you. It's encouraging, isn't it? I kind of like it when God rewards us. He's good when he rewards us as his people. So we've looked at how to fast, why to fast, etc., etc. Jesus taught on fasting. But if you wanted to fast and find out what it would look like, Isaiah 58, as we've had read to us, gives a wonderful vision of the benefits to us as a people when we take the time to fast. It says, as we had before, it says this, it's not this the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and break every yoke. You see, when we fast, God looses, he unties, he sets us free, and breaks every yoke. You see, when Jesus fasted, he went to the desert for 40 days and prepared himself for the ministry that he was going to bring to the people of Israel and ultimately to our lives. And then his ministry came as what? To bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to release the prisoners, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. What did he come to do? He came to loose, untie, and set free. And so when we fast and we seek God, God wants to do that in our lives. He wants to loose, untie, and set free and break every yoke. Everything that oppresses us, everything that holds us back, everything that we're terrified of, everything we're fearful of, God wants to break that. He wants to set us free to be God's people. He wants to set us free so that we can take on the family likeness. And through this commitment to taking time to seek God, not only does he set us free, he changes our perspective. He says this, is it not to share the food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? When we commit ourselves to being transformed, we commit ourselves to fasting, God changes us to be people who share, provide, clothe, and care. We become people who have a genuine concern for our family and for our community. And when we get the right priorities, it says this, your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. It's about a new beginning. It's about a new start. It's about your healing coming. And the Bible used the word R-U-K-A, ruka, raka, raka, whatever that means. It's a Hebrew word which means this, new flesh growing over old wounds. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a fresh start. It's a new opportunity. Old wounds, God wants to put over a fresh skin so they're no longer wounded. Then it says, your righteous one or righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. There's a promise that God's divine protection in our lives. There's a promise of God preparing the way for us. There's a promise that God has our back covered. And then it says, when you call, he will answer. When you cry for help, he'll say, here I am. A And then then Isaiah contrasts the fast that it's not what God wants, the fast again that he wants. He says this: if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. In other words, let's stop putting heavy yokes on each other. Let's take our own personal responsibility before God. Let's not worry about what our brothers are doing and our sisters are doing. Let's worry about what we are doing. Let's not point the finger, the malicious talk, the gossip, the accusing, the character assassination. Because who are we to judge? We never understand fully what people are going through. We never understand fully people's context. We never understand fully most things, to be totally honest. But God says, get rid of that. Get the right priorities. Then he says, spend yourself on behalf of the hungry. Satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Replace self-interest with acts of loving kindness. To reach out to those who are needy, both spiritually and physically, those who are oppressed. That's why it's wonderful being able to pray for people, to invite the Spirit of the Lord upon to break people free from bondage and from their past, because God wants to release them into the wonderful future he has for them. Then the response to our right priorities is this: the light will rise in the darkness, your night will become like a noonday. In other words, your darkest day will be transformed. Because when the light comes into darkness, the only thing that has to back off is darkness. God will provide hope in the gloom of the day. God will guide and provide for you and strengthen you to face the demands of life. And then there's this wonderful picture, this incredible picture of hope. He says, you will be, not you, you may be, you could be, you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and you will raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called repair of broken walls, restore of dwellings, and restore of streets. And that's just a wonderful picture of God's plan to restore us and for us to be part of God's restoration. That we're people of God who rebuild, restore, revive. A blessed people will be a blessing. Transformed people will transform community. And so God wants us to be open to change. And so I want to encourage each one of us this week to enter into that space of committing ourselves to fast and to pray and to seek God. And I don't want it to be like a heavy yoke. You've got to do what God has called you to do before him. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. Jesus will lead you in the way he leads you, because he's your good shepherd. He'll lead you beside still waters, etc., etc. So pray and say, God, how shall I respond to this invitation this week? And so that hangs on the whole idea of practice of fasting. How do we fast? So firstly, be led by the Spirit. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord guide you. Secondly, commit yourself to a particular type of fast. And I'm going to show you three sorts of fasting. And one of them is probably where we're not at this particular period of time. I know I'm not at it. And there's three sorts. There's an absolute fast, a normal fast, and a partial fast. The first one is where someone has no food and no water for a particular period of time. And they recommend, when you read this book, that that should be done under medical supervision. And so I would suggest here this morning, that's probably the one that we probably just park it out the back here. And we'll leave that. Maybe at some stage someone may be called to do that. But I think normal fast and partial fast are what we're called to as a church. So normal fast is to go with food for a period of time. The Lord might ask you to take a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and we're fasting over a period of 7 days. So you've got a range of options in which you can fast. So again, ask the Lord to lead you. Let the Lord speak to you what you should do. Then second one is a partial fast. Examples of this would be, you may get up in the morning and not have breakfast and not have lunch, but you might have an evening meal. And you might do that for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Again, let the Lord lead you into that. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, says that when he was in the king's presence, his fast was a partial fast. He went without choice meats and sweets and all sorts of things, but he still ate. And I suggest that for people who maybe are pregnant or feeding babies or under medical conditions, they're probably ones which we need to look at. Also, there's other things. I know my wife Catherine at the moment, you know, needing feeding Sophia, and the demands of that is full on for mums, and we know that. But she's setting aside time in the evening instead of watching TV to actually spend time reading a Bible and replacing that space with a time to hang out with God. And that's fine. That's great. It's very practical. And so let's just be practical about it. But also, God also might want to challenge us. He might say, actually, I want you to do 3 days. Oh, I can't do that. Well, most of us are not going to starve to death, that's for sure. So be led by the Spirit. Commit yourself to a particular type of fast, normal or partial. It's under grace, so we're not putting a burden on you. I mean, you don't have to participate, but we'd encourage you to because of the blessings that we've shown you through Isaiah 58. Thirdly, plan your week. So don't suddenly turn up on Monday thinking, right then, here we go. So today is a good opportunity to think, well, actually, if God's called me to fast, what am I going to do this week? So I suggest you put in times of the day to pray and read God's word. So if you're not eating, why do you get your food from something else? So maybe you can go away and maybe read something from the Bible or to pray. What I'd also suggest is a really helpful thing to do is to get a journal and to begin to write down what God is saying to you. Because as you begin to take time and spend time with the Lord, it begins to speak to us. And I have a journal which I fill out, you know, not every day, but quite often. And I write down what God says, or I think he said. I write down pictures, I write down thoughts. And as I go reflect back over them, I begin to see how God spoke to me over a period of time. And so over a period of time, over this week, why don't you get a journal and begin to write down what God may be saying to you? In the evening, from Monday to Thursday, we have an evening of worship and praying in the church. And that's to encourage us together so that we're not on our own. We're coming together to 7:30 and 9 to worship, to hear God's word, to pray for specific things, and to share together. And so that's a way of encouraging us. So I encourage you to come along on the Monday to Thursday. And also, to be really practical about it, limit your social and physical activity. So it's probably not your time to walk to, go for a long walk or do whatever you do. It's time to think, well, actually, if I'm not eating, I need to limit my expenditure of energy. So find out easier things to do that are not going to do just that. And fourthly, prepare yourself spiritually. Be prepared for a fresh encounter with the Lord. And so often our posture says everything. Our posture provides a great opportunity when we do that. When we're thinking, my gosh, I expect to meet with God, that opens us up the opportunity of doing just that. And so be prepared to meet with the Lord. And again, let the Lord lead you. But I also want to be really aware, as we begin to humble ourselves, I know that when I've prayed and fasted and all that kind of stuff, the Lord begins to reveal to things in our lives that maybe we need to repent of, to ask forgiveness, to change. So be open for the Lord speaking to us. And it's a good thing. It's good to take time aside to be able to say, okay, Lord, thanks for pointing that out. I will deal with that. I really apologize. And to be able to say, I'm sorry for that, Lord, and please, will you forgive me? But also God will bring us healing through that. And then five, prepare yourself physically. So drink plenty of water, and which probably is probably better than drinking wine and beer and things like that, because you'll get very dehydrated. So things like water are great, because it's a great way of replenishing your body. And also be aware, when you begin to fast, your body goes through in the first couple of days like a detox. And I know when I fast, you suddenly get a headache. You think, oh my gosh, what's that all about? Do I need to eat some more food? And it's actually often because we've had caffeine and we've had things in our lives we've taken week in, week out, and actually your body's saying, gosh, thank goodness for a break from this. And it begins to reveal itself in things like headaches. But be aware, they go very quickly. But just be aware, that's one of the things you'll probably happen. You also probably feel a bit nauseous to start with. You'll definitely feel irritable. So be careful on what you say to your wife or husband or work colleague, because it does feel a bit like that sometimes. Six, prepare yourself mentally. So remove temptation out of your way. So for instance, don't come down in the morning and open the fridge door and think, gosh, look what I'm missing. So, you know, probably don't do that. And also, you know, it's probably best not to go out for lunch with people or for dinner appointments if you're not going to eat at lunchtime, because there's nothing worse than someone's tucking into a wonderful meal and you're sitting there thinking, man, that's just fantastic. I wish I could be having that. So just be really practical about it. So, you know, create space where you're not in the kitchen. And I know if you're feeding children, I know that as well. Just feed them things that you hate. So that's practically. And then, so what do you do during your fast? Well, as we said before, commit some time to prayer and feasting on God's word. As Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Father's mouth. Worship, put CDs on. That's a great thing. Sometimes you're sitting in a room on your own, being quiet, listening to worship tape or CD. And it's letting the CD minister to you, let the Lord speak through that. It's important to be able to get alone with God, so create space for yourself. If you've got busy times, you know, maybe your husband looks after children for a couple of, you know, for 5 minutes, and then you have, and then they look after them, and you have half an hour. No, but create spaces so that you can have time alone with God. You know, enjoy creation. That's a fantastic time to get out and walk, not too far because you'll get exhausted, but just to get out and enjoy, you know, the beauty of what God has created. And as I said earlier, you know, get a prayer diary together. So these are the kind of practical things, and we've written them down on this card here, which gives you an idea of the prayer week we're having. And I'll run through that in a moment. But it also says preparation during your fast and at the end of the fast. And so the things I've gone through, I'm just going to run through them very briefly again. So very briefly, don't worry. If I can get there. So what have I done with them? We're here somewhere. So firstly, be led by the Spirit. Secondly, commit yourself to the type of fast that God has called you to and fits in with your lifestyle. Remember, it's under grace. Thirdly, plan your week so that it's a meaningful week. Prepare yourself physically and spiritually, recognizing what you're entering into and what you'll be doing. Prepare things you're going to do during the week, like praying and reading God's word, worship, getting alone with God, putting a prayer diary together. And then at the end, be aware that if you've been taking a few days off from eating, it's probably not the best idea to have a three-course meal immediately. But just to maybe have soup and bread and things like that, which enters you back in to a normal week. And so we want to meet next Sunday as an opportunity to testify what God's doing during this week. We want to have a time of worship and to celebrate what God has done, because when we take this time to do this, God is going to do amazing things. And I'm just going to conclude by saying this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Fasting gives us the opportunity to realign our lives according to his will and to consecrate the coming year to him. As we humble ourselves corporately to him in prayer, we can expect him to move mightily in our midst. God's will is for all of us to experience breakthrough and victory in our lives. Be in faith for God to move miraculously in your life this year beyond what you can ask or imagine. You have a fresh mandate. Be prepared to accomplish great things for God. And what we're putting together, just to help people to be encouraged in this week, we're having our Monday to Thursday coming in here to pray to, and to encourage each other. But we're setting up two things. Firstly, we're setting up a text alert, and I think Martha is going to be doing this, and we're going to have a sign-up sheet at the back of the church. And that's just for us to take your number on your phone, and each morning we're going to be texting out some scripture and some words of encouragement to start your day. So there's an opportunity to be encouraged as the Lord leads you in the fast. And secondly, we've got a prayer, it's not our prayer works, but it's like a prayer list, which is going to be sent round to different people into their email accounts, just to encourage you in your walk with God this week. So the two things, so that, you know, they're giving words of encouragement and hope, and so they're a text and like a prayer list or a prayer kind of circular, which is going to be going out during the week to encourage us in that. So what I want to encourage you to at the back of the church after, if you'd like to give us your phone number or your email, we will contact you and encourage you in this week. And finally, if I could have the PowerPoint at the end, just to run through what's happening here. So Monday to Thursday, we're starting at 7:30 with a time of worship, and we've prepared the week in seven phases, outlining the Lord's Prayer. So today is the introduction to the week of fasting. Then Mondays are Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, which is Saturday. And for Sunday, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So Monday, we're going to be praying for the worship of this church. We're going to pray for the music, for prayer, for prophecy, for giving and volunteering in Shakur. On Tuesday, we're praying for our welcome lunches, Alpha courses, Collide, church administration and membership. On Wednesday, we're praying for our outwork, those things we do, our ministries into the community, kids club, solace, prison ministry, Liberty Saints, bingo, grandmas, mainly music and impact. And on Thursday, we're praying for things within the church, like small groups, core kids, prayer ministry, prayer counselling, prayer care, mum to mums, mums and tots. And obviously, there will be other things we'll pray for during that time. So if you look on your chair, we've also got on the back top tips for fasting. So bring those away with you. They're pretty much what I've said already, about deciding what fast to do, what to do during the fast, and how to end your fast. And finally, we just want to encourage you to do that with us. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a fantastic week. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have a final song of worship. If the guys would come up and do that, it would be brilliant. So who's encouraged about fasting this week? It's good, isn't it? We're going to have some fantastic stories. I know it's really, the Lord just loves the fact that we're setting time aside. And I think it's just going to be great. And I'm so looking forward to next week as we worship and we hear the stories of what God has said and done to and through us over this next week. So it's going to be brilliant. So let's just stand.